Anything
All right.
you'd like to start with today?
Not really, no.
All right. How's when you look at your year? How do you? What's it look like to you? Business wise? Up, down, assets. Just give me a quick view of where you think you're going to be at the end of the year.
Well, I'm glad you asked. As of yesterday, I'm up 10.2% in revenue. And up approximately 28% in fee-based assets, but up about 3% in assets. But my AUM is weird because I have a big bank, a small bank as a client that has 40 or 50 million with me, and they add or subtract money kind of randomly, you know. So I think they've pulled out like 12 million this year, and last year they gave me 20. It's just, you know, it's kind of random depending on their cash needs. In fact, they have pulled out 12.
What do you do with that money?
Nothing, which is part of the problem. We just hold a bunch of bonds for them, and we've been trying to get more active. They end up trading away a lot on the bond portfolio, and a lot of times they'll just do a trade with someone else, and, you know, we don't even know about it until the trade's booked. So it ends up being a lot of work for not much revenue, and that's something that this year I'm really focused on trying to get them engaged with us or get them out of here.
How big a bank is it, asset-wise?
$300 million, not with me. I mean total assets.
Yeah, how big
the total portfolio?
How big is their bond portfolio?
They got 40 with me. They keep some at Pershing also, you know, so I'd probably another 40 over there.
Do you ever think about turning that over to somebody who does quasi-institutional business and splitting the fees?
Frequently. Yeah, frequently I think about that. And in fact, I am in that process of trying to find the best partner, whether that's going to be someone on the institutional side and just hand it off and take a percentage, or whether that's going to be someone on the retail and the branch who has more experience and focus, because – it's my only bank. I don't have the time or energy to develop the expertise to know, you know, which, you know, IBM bond is a better deal than, you know, which other, you know, bond. And also, you know, I don't have the critical mass in terms of other institutional clients to really devote time to it. So, I'm actually exploring that process actively.
The other thing I would guess, Abraham, and I, you know, I've been retired for 8 years, so things may have changed.
Mm-hmm.
But you on the private client side,
mm-hmm,
aren't probably seeing the same bonds and the same pricing that somebody on the institutional side is seeing.
And you would be correct in that assumption.
Yeah. So you get you do a lot of work. You get frustrated, and
you know, Anthony.
Said he in?
I thought that bell was Anthony joining us. Yeah, in fact, that's what happened is in years past, you know, what they like to do is they would say, all right, we're going to sell this bond. So they would send it out to, you know, half a dozen firms and request bids. And then, you know, my bid would come back with nothing, you know, in it for me, worse than where they ultimately transacted the bond, because I see the trade tickets, so I know they're not BSing me. And so after that process happened a couple of times, I said, well, you know, forget this. I'm going to focus on clients I can actually do some business with, or I would send them ideas, you know, hey, you've got this bond maturing in a couple of weeks. How about this? You know, here's another bond that'd be a good replacement, and just never even get a response, you know? So I'm like, well, screw this. I'm not going to spend another hour sending over a good idea that it doesn't even get acknowledged. You know, I'll focus on some of my clients who I can do some business with.
Well, and what else has changed is there used to be meaningful margins in that business.
Yeah, right.
And even if they buy something from you, you
mm-hmm.
know, the PCU is really skinny.
Yeah. You're right.
I think you do more business if you got a percentage of what an institutional person does.
I agree. I mean, it was important that I had the account for several years because I had some asset-based bonuses as part of my transition, but that ended in January of this year. So now my attitude is very much evolved regarding this account. Yeah. So
I think you and I are thinking along the same lines. You got too much else going on to spend time on business that you're going to win very. I mean, just if everybody was competing equally, and it went out, a bid goes out to six people, your chances of winning that are 12.5%.
Right.
Or 16%. Right. So. And then if you get paid a bond, which is probably high these days, it's just you can just use that time. Use that time to go work out.
And that's how that's what has happened, and consequently, partially because of that frustration. But I've sort of taken myself out of the running and with them, and a couple of other firms have really gotten very much the ear of the investment committee. So a lot of times now they just make changes, and then we clear the trades. So we're saying the same thing, we actually had a meeting with my manager and the bank guys, and pretty much laid it on the table that look, we need to start getting involved in this, and we're willing to bring additional resources to the table in terms of institutional, help. Otherwise, it's just relationship just doesn't make sense for us. So they're open to that, and I'm in the process of trying to find the right partner around this, and let them run with it.
Yeah, you want to find the right partner, but what you want more than anything else is to get that off your plate. I mean, what'd you do in PCs with those guys this year? Just guess.
That's an easy number. That's easy because it's the same as every other year, zero.
Well, then.
Yeah.
I mean,
they got me a $75,000 bonus this year, but that's not going to happen again next year. So, I was delighted to have them for sure.
Yep.
But,
yeah,
like I said.
I'm delighted you got the $75,000. It's awfully hard. It's like somebody who has one 401k. You just don't have the advantage.
Right.
You don't have the size to make it worthwhile. So
I'm with you.
I think we got the answer.
I mean, with respect to your original question, if you back, they took out $12 million this year, but if you back that out, my assets would be up $16 million. My gross is up 10%. Fee based assets are up 28%. Which is really what I'm focusing on. And I went from 24.7 to 32 million in fee-based. And, that's really what I'm focusing on because that's, new assets going into fee-based as well as converting additional, existing assets into fee-based.
Yep.
Because, I mean, that's really what's going to drive the growth going forward.
It is.
Yeah.
All this stuff with the Department of Labor, that just is with retirement accounts, but it's going to come a day when when managed money first came out, FA said, well, I'm just going to put all my money in play golf. Well, those days are over. You have to show people some value in order to grow your fee-based business. You have to be doing the other things we've talked about. Here's the key. If let's say you're charging, I'm going to make it up, 100 for fee-based business.
Yeah.
Your brand is defined by what if all your client is getting is money management for that.
Right.
That client is at risk because there's always going to be somebody who's going to undercut you. So the key is for that 1%. What else are you delivering?
For sure.
That makes sense to you? I mean, just think about a competitive situation, and somebody says, "Well, I've got my managed money with Merrill Lynch. It's just like your platform." And then your question can be, "Well, I hear what you're saying. What are you getting for that 1% other than money management?"
You know, Rob, I do have something to mention around that. Is that I met with a prospect a couple of weeks ago, and very nice folks, mid-40s, very diligent saver, and it was a referral from a referral, kind of a very indirect way that they ended up, so it's not like a strong referral, but it was a referral nonetheless from a guy who knows a guy who knows me, and that guy's not even a client, so you know, it wasn't a strong referral, but the where I'm going with this is that in the initial meeting, what I focused largely on was my client service process, and you know the multi-generational financial plan that's fully implemented through a series of regularly scheduled monthly conference calls, quarterly reviews, and twice a year in person.
Yeah.
And, you know, rapid response to client questions or concerns. And the cool thing is we really connected well. I mean, it was actually literally a three-hour meeting that by the end of it I thought had only been a two-hour meeting because the time just flew. And, you know, I explained explained that I've gone through this process this year to really strengthen my client service process and the service that I deliver. And part of that was for the first time in my life understanding why and implementing I need to implement a minimum account relationship size. And I explained that it was $500,000 in the absence of, you know, extenuating circumstances, and knowing that they probably weren't quite there. And so as it turns out, they're at 4.25, give or take, that they're ready to bring over. And by the end of the meeting, she was asking if I would make an exception and bring them on. Because what I was telling her I do for my clients was so much better than what she's been experiencing. And she said, I haven't heard from the guy at Ameriprise in over 2 years. So,
wow.
You know, what you said really way back in the beginning of this process, or what was on a video, that you prospect around the client service model, around 12-4-1, not around your investment philosophy or, you know, performance or the, you know, the firm or any of that crap. And it really absolutely worked. And of course I did take her on because, as I told her, you know, somebody in their mid-40s with 4.25, I'm more enthusiastic about working with than somebody who's 6 that we can grow with together over the years than somebody who's 63 and has 4.25 or 6.25 and is trying to figure out how they're going to be able to retire and needs me to double it in the next 2 years. Just wanted to let you know that it really worked beautifully.
Well, here's what I hear from what you're saying is confidence. What you're saying to that client is, this is what I do.
Exactly.
Don't take everybody. And that's not because I'm an arrogant man. That's because I can never, and you're going to remember never let the growth of my practice compromise the service I'm giving existing clients.
Absolutely. In fact, I use that.
Yeah. So that's who I am. And sometimes, Abraham, you define yourself by who you aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And that can go along the lines. If you're looking for somebody to be calling you every 3 days with a stock idea, only to be calling you 3 days later to sell that and buy something else, I'm not your guy. Now, nobody really wants that.
Right.
Well, there probably are some people out there. But do you see how you define yourself by who you aren't?
Absolutely.
So all a great story.
It was great. You know, I explained my typical fee schedule, and you know, it's 1.5 on the first quarter million and 1.25 on the next quarter, and then 1%. On anything above $500,000, but that's incremental, so that doesn't mean at 501 you get 1%. That was a very brief part of the conversation because it just wasn't the focus, because what we were talking about was the service, the relationship, what their goals are, what they're looking for in a financial advisor. And, you know, they felt like, okay, that's reasonable for what you're going to be doing for me. And it's probably higher than they're paying now, I'm pretty sure. But I feel proud, like we've talked about in the past, of what I'm delivering and offering. And I know that that puts me, you know, in the top 5th percentile of what my peers do, because nobody does this stuff consistently.
Nobody does it. And the nice thing
– nobody does it consistently.
Nobody does it at the competition.
Right.
We've trained a lot of people, but, you know, as a percentage of the population – the FA population, it's really, really small. They're just not many people out there who are doing what you're doing. Now, when you told them about the fees, and you may have done this and I just missed it, you got to say, let me tell you what you get for that.
Right. Oh, I like that.
Just money.
I mean, I feel like we really thoroughly covered that prior, but yep. I like what you're saying with that.
Yeah. Terrific. All right. Now, let me just spend a second on your partner. What you're doing in your practice, side of the practice, is he bringing you into more opportunities on his side of the practice?
You know, that's evolving, and Peter may very well be listening to this replay at some point. It's evolving. There was an issue where there was recently with a large client of his where I had been involved previously a couple of years back. I did a financial plan. I went out there to several meetings, and it seemed like a good connection. And they're nice folks, a little eccentric, but nice, and big account. And I had perceived a growing sense of frustration on both parts. Now, Peter was getting frustrated because he knew that they weren't completely satisfied and vice versa. And it seemed to have come to a head recently over some administrative issues. So I asked Peter if I could give it a shot and go out there and call him. And then I ended up going out there on my own. And it was a real positive meeting. And I think that with a second set of eyes and a different style of communicating and listening, I was able to connect with them and get a clearer picture of what they want that would make them feel good about what's going on with their investments. He really responded well to that, to his credit. I mean, I think it would have been hard for me to be so gracious and step aside like he did and be that trusting. And when I circled back with him, it was a very positive experience for both he and I believe it's fair to say. And he had voluntarily yesterday suggested we adjust the split more in my favor on his book of business, because he really sees the value in getting me more involved. So, yeah.
This being on a recording, mm-hmm. We've never had anything on a recording that was something that I remember. Something that you would be embarrassed about saying.
No, that's right. I mean, I that's right. You're absolutely correct.
We're talking about. See, here's what senior people who've built a practice don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do this with these people. You got to partner with Billy Bob and
right.
help him get the business. Mm-hmm. You're not calling your. They don't want to hear that.
Right.
As your practice gets tighter and mm-hmm. you do more things, then you're attractive to Peter.
Right. Exactly.
You know, Peter's been doing this a long time. He deserves to be treated with dignity and respect. So as you do
Absolutely.
These things, he's going to be more comfortable bringing you in. I mean, for him to adjust the splits says about all I need to know about what he feels about what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, he has in the past, when we first started working together, it seemed like there was a finite timetable around when he wanted to begin transitioning out, and then it seemed like that had kind of turned into an infinite kind of thing and that he never really wanted to leave. But now, in the last couple of months, it seems like he's kind of coming back around to the idea of, you know, maybe I do want to actually begin stepping back in the near future. I suspect it's getting less fun for him in the business, with all the administrative crap and everything. And, you know, there's been some friction around accounts and performance and all that. And, I think that, you know, at 75, I'm not sure that he still enjoys it quite as much. But I think.
He's earned the right to deter, unless
yeah,
we'd
right.
be making major mistakes. Mm-hmm. A senior fella at Merrill, and he called a client and then called the same client the next day and had the same conversation.
Yeah.
And you have to look at it. And
right.
But Peter has the right to he's built the business. Now here's what's
right.
here's the next thing. If an FA, and I'm not talking about Peter here, but if an FA in general isn't having a good time, these markets have been, you know, they haven't been terrific, but they haven't
mm-hmm.
been off either. Nobody wants to go through another 08
right. or that's for sure.
1000 or 87. So that's
right.
the next wave in the industry is people who just don't want to go through that cycle again.
Right.
So, but the big point here is that you're becoming more attractive to him, and that's
yeah.
a compliment. All right.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, he really is enthusiastic about Supernova. He's tried to implement some of the principles of it himself. You know, I think if he really wants to do it, he needs to go through the coaching. You know, I think he's also found that, you know, as he's remarked to me, this is a lot of work. You know, I've seen him get more engaged with his clients, but I think, you know, he's certainly seen the value of it, and I think that he, as he feels more and more confident that if he hands me the keys, I'll do a great job and I won't crash the Ferrari, you know, he's beginning to kind of see the appeal and, you know, maybe I ought to, you know, step back a little and I could travel more and, you know, if the kid's going to do a good job with my clients, I don't have to worry about that, you know, this is kind of nice.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way the picture I would paint, and this is a picture we painted with the fellow I mentioned to you a minute ago who made the same call,
mm-hmm.
is it would be more comfortable to slide over into the co-pilot seat.
Yeah.
And let us drive the thing. You know, we'll get it to the
right.
airport on time. We'll get it fueled. We'll get it loaded. You sit in the co-pilot seat, and we took him down to like 20 or 25 relationships. Because
mm-hmm.
that's all he was talking to anyway.
Right, right.
He was happy. The client, everything worked. All right, let's.
Yeah.
Let's get to the bottom of the hour. Let's talk a couple of things. A couple of sessions ago, you and I established a couple of financial planning goals.
Yes.
Again, these goals were set up with a commitment to do your planning exceedingly well, not just
mm-hmm.
do it quickly and say, "Hey, I've got
yeah.
everybody with a plan." Here,
right.
There, one goal folded into the other. The first goal was to have 12 plans started by the end of the year. The second goal was to have 100% of your clients with a plan by June of 2018. Where do you stand on getting the 12 plans started by year end?
Pretty good. I mean, I haven't really – I'm shooting from the hip right now, but I haven't really quantified that. But, I mean, I've got to be there. Especially if you count started and finished, which I've knocked out a couple already. And that plan reviews count for that, right?
No.
Like I haven't done a plan in 6 years for this person, so it's basically starting over.
That counts. Yeah. Doing a
okay.
updating somebody's current plan to keep it current doesn't count. I would.
Right. No, I'm not going to count that.
Who's got a 6-year-old plan, That's probably something that it's easier and more efficient to start over again than update that plan. So,
and I picked that intentionally because anybody I haven't done a plan since my RJ days, I don't even have access to that plan anymore. So, you know, anyone who that's, you know, that's as if I'm doing a plan for the first time for them.
Okay.
Here's but yeah, I will. Like. I will count it. I'll count it up and email that over to you if you want to know specifically.
I you can tell me next time. Here's what I would
mm-hmm.
like you to do. I would like for you to specifically track it. The next time
okay.
I ask a question, I would like for you to say, Rob, I've got 4 in the works, or I got 5.
Okay.
Everything that you measure, everything that you track, as an FA told me once, everything I measure
mm-hmm.
goes up.
That's
so,
a great point.
Like you measure your production because it's important. It's how you get paid.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to measure where you are with planning. Now, as the just finish with that thought process, do you remember the planning matrix? We talked about it way back in June. You know, that thing that where you divide.
The 1, 2, 3, 4s?
Yeah.
Sure.
Again, that's just a way that it might help you identify – people who need to.
Yeah, I put a spreadsheet together for all that, but I fell off the wagon on actually, you know, using it on a regular basis. So it's not. I'll update it, and it's better if I actually commit to getting that over to you this week, because if we say I'll have that for you next month, I mean, it'll just get put on the back burner.
Well, I'll always take your email. All right.
Yep.
At the end of week 12, and this is month two, so this was last month we got off on a tangent and didn't really follow up on week 12. I had given you two pieces of homework. The first was to identify six centers of influence. In week 12, you mentioned Fernando, who has given you referrals in the past and is wired in the Cuban community. You also mentioned Bill, who's a CPA. You got a few more minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Would these two men still be? I want you to have six centers of influence. Would you still consider these men two of the six?
You know, Fernando definitely. Bill maybe. He hasn't given me anything in a while. I've sent him some stuff. There was actually a big client of his he sent me ended up leaving, and there were some issues around the investments, unfortunately. So that has perhaps soured things for a bit, but I think that there's certainly, I don't think it's poison beyond repair.
Well, so it was he referred.
But I would not count him as a solid COI right now.
Okay, so just so I understand, he referred someone to you, and there were some investments that didn't work out that you had suggested, and
client
left. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
The earlier part of this year when the market pulled back so much, some things went down more than the market, and that got, a little contentious, and the client left, and in retrospect, perhaps there were some issues around, on my end that I could have done a better job around communication and really, really getting clear on his risk tolerance, and, it turned out to be less tolerant than I had originally been, thought. But it was a learning experience, and everything is cool now. But I think it kind of left a bad taste in Bill's mouth, at least for the moment.
Yeah. Well, here on that subject, here's what I learned about risk tolerance. A person's appetite for risk, most people's appetite for risk, is greatly determined by the direction of the market the day they answer the question.
Right. That's a great point.
So if you're in a market that's gone up percent, that person is going to take more risk than the exact same person if it's down 15%. So always,
for sure,
you're talking to people about risk, always be conscious of what the market environment is. And it took me a while to learn that, but it makes all the sense in the world. Another way to determine risk, Abraham, is just by you've got $1 million here. At what point do you think you would get really uncomfortable on the downside?
Right, right.
Well, if it was down $25,000, I'd really be uncomfortable. Well, that's somebody who doesn't have an appetite for risk. So again, just be conscious of the market environment when people answer that question. All right.
Absolutely.
Is there anything if somebody called you today and said, Abraham, I hate my CPA. I need a new CPA. Would you recommend Bill, or is there another?
I would.
You would?
I would. I think he does a fantastic job. Yeah, absolutely.
Good. All right. Well, my question was going to be around Fernando and Bill. Because you mentioned those two gentlemen, what can you do for them?
With respect to Fernando, I'm actually meeting with him in the morning tomorrow, and I manage his personal investments. He's basically retired. From a business perspective, I don't think that there's a lot I can do. But, taking great care of him as a client and both of his son-in-laws who he's referred, as well as some, close family friends and others that he's referred, I think just, every time I keep one of my promises and deliver the world-class service that I've committed to, it puts another deposit in the bank, you know, of trust. So I think that's mostly what I can do for him.
Okay. Well,
And also I will say his wife passed last year, so I'm mindful to kind of reach out to him, you know, try and get him out of his house, you know, invite him out to breakfast, which I know he enjoys. Yeah. He likes talking about the banking system and, you know, banking regulations and stuff because that was his career. And I know he enjoys our conversations, and so I'm trying to, you know, be a little more mindful to just reach out to him, stay in closer touch. And I've asked him, you know, how are you doing? How you know, how you're hanging in there, and, you know, try and, you know, connect with him on a human level.
Okay. Well, as we build your COI list, you mm-hmm. always want to be looking for ways that you can reciprocate.
Yeah.
It's easy with a CPA. It's easy with an estate planning attorney.
Right.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you got, you know, what you told me about Fernando is it's the right answer. If Fernando was involved in a civic organization, it mm-hmm. might be something that you want to get involved with. If it's something that you mm-hmm. care about, you can't fake that. If you don't care about it, you
right.
don't do it. But you
right,
might
right.
want to make a contribution or whatever. So, as we build your COI list, I want you to be always asking yourself, "What can I do for this person?"
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I do think
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I do think it would make sense for me to invite, and I've been kind of waiting until tax season wraps up, invite Bill to lunch and just share with him, because we still have several clients in common, that, you know, hey, Bill, I want to share with you some of the enhancements I've made to my process, you know, since we haven't spoken in or sat down in a while. And you know, I will, and I do feel comfortable letting him know that, you know, Darden leaving was kind of a wake-up call to me that I needed to really refine and improve my process, and this is what I'm now doing for all my clients. And I think kind of, you know, sharing that would be helpful.
I would encourage you not to have that conversation.
Why is that?
Because it looks – what I make up from that is you screwed up.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we don't say that. Maybe, you know, I don't say that I you know, that last part about it, you know, about that particular client. Maybe I just, you know, I'm excited to share with them
exactly
what I'm doing for my clients now.
Exactly.
And,
right.
And, you know, improvements I'm making.
I've made some refinements to my practice.
Mm-hmm.
You have been very kind to refer people to me in the past. I want you to know what those refinements are. That's the
perfect
conversation I would have.
Okay.
Now,
that sounds
what
good.
Ask is you know what you're going to talk about is you're going to talk about your minimum. You're going to talk about your ideal client model, which
mm-hmm.
is your minimum plus those soft issues you enjoy in your best client.
Sure.
So here's the question I want you to ask Bill.
Okay.
See what your ideal client looks like.
Okay.
So when I see something that I think might be a fit, I'll recognize it. Well,
okay.
My client is somebody who, you know, I'm making this up. I really
mm-hmm.
like working with business owners. Half of my
sure
my practice is with business owners, or I really like working with whatever. Ask that question. That's showing interest in his practice,
okay.
And it's a great question. You don't want to refer
yeah.
to someone that is a pain. So ask that question,
sure.
What your ideal client looks like. My
okay.
CPA, who I've had since 95, I think, he didn't go through Supernova, but he basically did it intuitively. You have to have generate a minimum amount of fees to be in his practice.
Mm-hmm.
He reduced the size of his practice significantly, and so now he has more time to spend with the people that have complex situations where he can charge, you know, where he can
sure.
build in margin. So I
right.
don't apologize. You know, they taught me as a manager at Merrill Lynch, you never say I'm sorry
mm-hmm.
because that's admitting guilt.
Right.
I wish it hadn't turned out that way.
Right, right.
Difference. I would not bring it up, but if
okay.
he brings it up, I would say, yeah, I, he didn't give me as good a read on his risk tolerance as I needed, or something along those
right.
lines. I wish we'd have a little more time.
Right.
So
you make a very good point, and I mean I completely agree with what you're saying.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's the homework. Two quick things, and then I got to go.
Yeah.
Did you get your practice overview approved by compliance?
I don't remember. I know I asked Anthony to do it, so I assume it got done, but I'll check.
This is a really big deal, but especially for someone like you that's growing his practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think about it with these. Using it with those people who were a little bit under your minimum, just
yeah.
so they get to know you better. It's a great way for people
mm-hmm.
to know you better. You got to get.
Well, I'll find out if I did or not. And
the other thing is that I want you to come to the meeting next time with five additional COIs, people who are candidates.
Okay.
So you and I can have a specific conversation around that.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right. Doing good work. Doing good work.
Thanks, bud.
You know, part of what
it.
We do is you can pick up the phone and call me, Abraham, if you got questions between meetings. So if you get in the ditch, I can get you out of the ditch a lot quicker than you can get yourself out of the ditch.
All right. I appreciate that. I'll take you up on it.
All right. See you.
Thank you. See you later.